Mini episode 52 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by the Pullins Group, delivering public affairs consulting and marketing services for small businesses trying to grow. Follow them on the web at PullinsGroup.com.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, Rick Morris, Kyle Ross, your FDH Lounge dignitaries here tonight talking NCAA bowls. We're going to get all you folks out there ready for your NCAA bowl pools there and tell you where you need to be going on this stuff, but we'll take a little bit of a macro level. I don't think we're not going to drill too long or hard on any one of these bowls just because there's dozens and dozens and dozens of them. But
35 to be
exact. Yeah, exactly. And this year, for the first time ever, the chance to have both teams in a bowl with losing records afterwards. We'll be talking about that. Every year they get closer and closer. Our Nate Noy every year is always looking at that, at how close they cut it on bowl-eligible teams and the way that they keep expanding on bowls here. One of these years, they're really
going to have to. Well, there were two teams that, you know, didn't fit that criterion, that didn't make it. I can't remember. I think Western Kentucky was one. I can't remember who the other one was.
Well, the funniest thing of all was last year when Temple didn't make it at 8-4, and they had beaten UConn, who was in a BCS bowl. That was just one of the greatest things ever.
Yeah, well, I mean, that works. First of all, a couple of macro things.
Yes.
Can we once again give a round of applause for the BCS for getting it right? What a phenomenal way to determine your chance. I mean, for getting it right.
I want a plus one. It should be LSU against Stanford, Okie State against Alabama.
The SEC is clearly the best conference in America. Okay, I don't care if they don't. If they've never been hit like that before, okay?
They are. It's just funny to hear you say it in that tone of voice.
They are. And people say, you cannot, the way it's determined, okay, the BCS got it right. The top two teams are playing for the national championship.
Kyle, but there are people that will tell you around these parts that they play flag football in the Sun Belt. You know, you ain't never been hit like that before.
I know that, yes. But you can't, I mean, Alabama was the only, I mean, Oregon, who I think is the third best team, lost by 13 on a neutral field to LSU. Alabama lost by 3 at home in a game that went to overtime. Oregon, I could kind of see, I think Oregon should be, they should be in a plus one, not Stanford. Oregon drubbed Stanford and Palo Alto.
Oregon, part of it, too. You look at what they did to Stanford. My argument on what happened to them against LSU, they were not the same team late in the season as they were when they got drubbed by LSU.
True, but so I could understand. But other than that, I mean, I'm sorry. Look, I know there were some extenuating circumstances. Oklahoma State lost to Iowa State. All right. And here's the thing, too. People always say, I would love to, you know, Mike Gundy himself said that. You know, people really want to see how, our offense would fare against one of those SEC defenses. I'm sorry. That argument's been settled. That ship's been sailed. There were other people saying that, too, during the season. Oh, I'd love to see a big 12. How about last year? Oregon came in averaging, 50 points per game? They scored 19 against a terrible Auburn defense. Two years ago, Texas, all their pomp and circumstance, beaten by Alabama. 3 years ago, Oklahoma, which was averaging 50 points per game, did nothing against Florida. I'm sorry. To me, they got the two best teams are playing for the national championship.
Well, not only that, I think we can agree on this. And this goes out to Mike Gundy. This goes out to T. Boone, Wind, Corporate Welfare, Pickens, and the rest of them there. Why did they win Bedlam, Kyle Ross? They won Bedlam because of the stakes. If they were undefeated, they would have lost to Oklahoma. They would have choked. Yeah. They would have choked against Oklahoma like they always.
I love Oklahoma State, by the way. It was a nice 20-star primetime bailout.
Nice.
Love that play.
Vegas experts, baby.
Yes. But Oklahoma, first of all, what a gag team they are. Bob Stoops stinks.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though.
What a gag. You talk about the word. I mean, that was losing to Texas Tech disqualified them anyway.
He's beaten Oklahoma State in the past when Oklahoma State's been better. It hasn't been too many times.
Really? I thought this was the best Oklahoma State team they had since Barry Sanders.
No, it is. It
a
is.
Team that, by the way, played in a December something.
It is, ball. But I'm saying the same as what I said about LeBron. It's true about him until he proves it otherwise. Oklahoma State's had better teams and still gagged to Oklahoma. It hasn't happened that often. Usually Oklahoma's better. But Oklahoma State always gags against Oklahoma when it counts.
You think they played
smaller.
Well because right. the pressure was off. If they
basically,
lost.
Yeah. I mean,
well,
it's kind of like...
Well, they were playing for a BCS Bowl. It's a lot of money for your boy
yeah,
T-Boone.
But, I mean, I go back to something that the great comedian and satirist P.J. O'Rourke said years ago. Why don't old people drive fast? Because they have the dignity not to gamble with small stakes.
Yeah.
And in this case, the stakes were smaller for Oklahoma State than they would have been otherwise.
True. Yeah. But the bottom line is the BCS got it right. Again.
Within the confines, I still want a plus one, but I'll give you that there. The two best teams are playing, and I'll give you that.
But let's start at the other end of the spectrum, shall we?
Yeah.
And I want to do this first, because a lot of people, first of all, you know, everyone always talks, all these bowl games, and people laugh at the sponsors. Let me tell you something. There's two people. Two kinds of people that love 35 bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sponsors and bettors. Okay,
yep.
Let me tell you something. My industry, please keep the thing away. We love 35 bowl games over 23 days.
Right.
Okay, we love the way it is because there's a lot more, you know, people are more inclined when there's just one or two games. People go, I'll bet this game, you know, even though I don't know anything about either of these teams.
Right.
You know, I'll bet this game. And that's what, you know, hopefully this podcast is going to do. I'm going to kind of help you out with some of these games. Now, in full disclosure, I hate the bowl matchups this year. They paired so many teams that, like, two teams that I kind of like that I would love to play this time of year.
Right.
Or there's a lot of situations where it's two teams that I don't like and would want nothing to do with this time of year against one another. So,
right.
Seems a little more challenging at first blush than in previous years, but I'll say this. You have to, when if you're going to bet on the bowls or if you're going to do stuff like bowl, you know, not even necessarily bet money, but if you're going to do stuff like bowl mania or, or make your picks or whatever, be in any kind of pool, you do need to divide the bowls into two segments. And it's real easy. December and January.
Right.
The key is, and you're a smart man, you understand this, is motivation.
Right.
The January bowl games, it doesn't matter who's playing in them. And I know there are some exceptions towards the end that why have these games not been played in mid-December?
Right.
I think like Arkansas State's playing the night before the national championship. Why? You know, that's not a big game. But whatever. Teams treat the January bowl games as a reward. I mean, there have been some exceptions. Alabama, when they lost to Utah that one year under Nick Saban, they did not treat that like a reward.
Right.
But for the most part, teams are happy to be there. You're going to get a good effort from them.
Right.
That is not the case in December always. There are teams, baby, that phone these things in long distance. There are teams that have had disappointing seasons.
Right.
They don't care.
Right.
They're there for a vacation.
Yep.
And quite frankly, it's pin me, pay me, baby. Okay?
Yeah.
All right? Okay?
Okay,
so,
Al.
Yes. So, I mean, you saw that last year. Here's a perfect example last year.
Yeah.
The biggest favorite of last bowl season was Nebraska. They played Washington. I want to say it was the Holiday Bowl.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I'm positive it was. They were about a 17-point favorite for good reason. They destroyed Washington in the regular season when they played.
Right.
They were not up for that game. They lost that game outright.
Yeah.
So those are the kind of things, you know, you have to look for. Does this team care to be? I always look for a couple things in these December bowl games.
Right.
Okay, these are the things you need to look for. Has a team not been to a bowl in a while? Those teams try really hard.
Right.
Okay, those teams give you great effort, especially as an underdog. I like those teams.
Right.
Particularly if their opponent is kind of had a disappointing year, you know, not, you know, probably not too excited about the bowl. Another thing that I look for is, on the other end of the spectrum, you know, did the team just not meet expectations? You know, there's a couple situations like this. You know, we talked about Nebraska last year. Oklahoma this year, they kind of got jobbed. They're not in a very good bowl game. They're playing a December bowl game. So those are things you have to look for. And also, where's the game at? Some of these games are like de facto home games for teams.
Close.
Yeah, and that, I mean, if a team has to go all the way out to Idaho, say, from Athens,
hypothetically.
You know, yes, you know, that's not the best thing. But, you know, if a team is, say, you know, Louisiana Lafayette, and they're playing in the Superdome against a team from San Diego, that's a pretty strong regional advantage.
Right. But for Lafayette, the Superdome's a big deal. But a lot of times, if you're not traveling from that far, you're also not getting that worked up. Just like, big friggin' deal. We live 40 miles down the road from that place. It's not a trip. You know,
true, but that can, you know, that can work too because you treat it more like a game than a vacation. So
that's
You know, well, I mean, all if you want to go through these, let's
go
through
these. We'll just blow through these ones here. First one, New Mexico Bowl, Wyoming. versus the Temple Pudding Pops here, who, as we said, got excluded last year and have motivation. Even the New Mexico Bowl looks good to a team that was 8-4 last year and got left out altogether.
Yeah, this is a game that's a total stay off for me. I talked about there's a lot of matchups of teams that I kind of would have wanted to play on this bowl season. This is one of them.
Okay.
Wyoming's a dangerous team. Okay. You know, I'm trying to figure out the total for this game because Wyoming went under the total like every game this year. Temple started out that way and then went over when the numbers dropped late in the season.
49.5 is what I'm seeing.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Wyoming, they literally went on. This could be a game that goes over the total because defense sometimes gets shoddy this time of year.
Okay.
But overall, don't like the game. I'll give a slight lean to Temple to win this game, but I would not recommend laying the 7 with Temple.
Okay.
But if we're talking straight up, Temple will probably win. Wyoming did pull a big outright win in this bowl, I believe, two years ago.
Something that hits home for both of us here, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, our alma mater, the Fighting Bobcats of Ohio at 9-4 versus 7-5 Utah State.
Don't like this game either at all. I'll tell you why. Ohio U, it hasn't been that long. I know there's always an extended break before the bowls. Two things here. I question where their heads are going to be at after gagging the MAC title game in spectacular fashion. I mean, up 20-0 at halftime, up 27-7 in the fourth quarter, losing that game. This game is not really a reward. They have been very bad in the bowls under Frank Solich. I mean, very bad. I think they're 0-3 against the number, missed the spread by a combined 47 points in those games. Mm-hmm. It's not been a good bowls, experience under Frank Solich. And Utah State is one of those teams that you're either going to get a great game or a hideous game. They put up 63 on Wyoming earlier in the year, but they've got some really bad losses too. You know, they finished strong with the 5 straight wins, but earlier in the year, you know, they had some really just bad losses that you don't know what you're going to get. So I would recommend passing on this game. I will give a slight lean to Ohio U, though.
Okay.
A slight lean to Ohio U to win.
And I give a big one for purely unbiased reasons.
Yes.
The New Orleans Bowl, played coincidentally in New Orleans. 8-4 Louisiana Lafayette versus 8-4 San Diego State.
I like an upset here from the odds. I like Louisiana Lafayette. This is a team that has not been to a bowl game in 41 years.
Okay.
San Diego State, they know a thing or two about, we talk about, again, at the top of the program, teams off a long bowl hiatus typically perform well. San Diego State was in that role last year, okay? They hadn't been to a bowl game since 98. Crushed Navy, they were a slight underdog in that game in the Poinsettia Bowl, which is played in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Tables turned this year. Louisiana, you know, back-to-back bowl games. San Diego State kind of had a disappointing season a little bit. You know, their quarterback, Ryan Lindley, I thought had a disappointing year. He seemed to regress. Louisiana Lafayette on talent alone is inferior, but I think motivation carries them. I would definitely take them plus the points here.
Very interesting. Okay. In the next one, you've got the Beef O'Brady's Bowl in St. Petersburg, Florida. 8-4 Florida International versus 6-6 Marshall.
This game, as far as the first week goes, probably gets my biggest mark. I think Florida International wins pretty big here. Not only regionally do they have the advantage, Marshall is about as bad as any team playing in a bowl game. This was a team that was 4-6 at one point. Beat East Carolina and Memphis by a combined 8 points in their last. Memphis is awful.
Yep.
For those who do not follow Conference USA, Memphis is awful. Now, it's very interesting. People talk about, obviously, Texas Tech over Oklahoma is the most surprising result this college football season.
Mm-hmm.
I'll raise you Marshall beating Southern Miss back
in
September.
About that before.
Okay,
yeah,
especially when you saw how good. I watched it, obviously, because I'm a junkie for these things. I don't know if you caught the Conference USA title game. Southern Miss is a very good team. Their two losses this year were about as puzzling. They lost to Marshall and UAB, who was even worse. So I think Marshall gets housed in this game. This, to me, is going to be your first blowout of the bowl season.
Could very well be. By the way, too, I want to point out from when we talked previously, you were only wrong on when Houston was going to go down. You called them to go down to Tulsa, but go
that
down they did.
That was such a, by the way, that was a real, I got caught. Maybe a lot of people were listening to that podcast or something like that because everyone bet Tulsa in that game and the number got real low. And they started out good enough, but God, that was ugly. I was actually humiliated watching the second half.
Well, happens to all of us.
Louisiana Lafayette, if we could backtrack a little bit. I forgot, 7-0 against the number as a dog this year.
Okay, so what you're saying is score one for Bobby Boucher's original alma mater.
Yes.
The Poinsettia Bowl, December 21st in San Diego. Number 16, TCU, 10-2 versus 8-4 La Tech.
Yeah, two conference champions here, and I'll be honest with you. TCU, don't you think they probably deserve something better than this?
Yeah, but certainly not the BCS like they almost got.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't.
Worse than that, but better than this. By the way, how often, same stadium, how often is the Poinsettia Bowl better than the Holiday Bowl? And yet this could very well be.
Yeah, this is a battle cover. Louisiana Tech is a team that came on strongly. I give them a straight-up TCU wins the game.
Mm-hmm.
Closer than the experts think, though, Rick Morris. Okay? Louisiana Tech was another team that absolutely knocked, like Louisiana Lafayette, knocked it out of the park as a dog this year, covered all seven tickets.
Closer than the experts think.
This one will be decided by less than a touchdown.
Okay.
But TCU will win, but Louisiana Tech's going to give them a good game.
Not closer than the Vegas experts.
Yes, there we go.
December 22nd, the Mako Bowl in Las Vegas. Were it not for the fact that they're in Sin City, one would say that number 8 Boise State arguably deserves a better fate at 11-1 versus 6-6 Arizona State in all kinds of turmoil, plucking away other teams' coaches here in the silly season.
You know, that Bowl Mania little game that you can play online, you know, when you rank your strongest straight-up winner to your least confident straight-up winner, this to me might be a 35 for me.
Yeah.
Boise State rolls. I don't know. That's a huge – I hate laying double digits in the bowls.
Right.
But Arizona State, I mean, is this team going to even try?
No.
I mean, is it Erickson still coaching the game, right? And isn't he going to be the
lead?
So, I mean – again, Boise, a lot of people questioned their motivation last year in the bowl. They beat up on Utah pretty good in that bowl game. I actually think it was the same game they were in last year. So we'll look for them to wax Arizona State.
I love the Pitt coach telling his team that he took the ASU job via text. Bobby Petrino thinks that's a gutless way of leaving.
Woo, big swing!
December 24th, the Hawaii Bowl. Always love watching us on Christmas Eve on ESPN. Number 22, Southern Miss, 11-2 versus Nevada, 7-5.
You know, Nevada, didn't they lose horribly in this game last year? Or was that 2 years ago? But I can't. Southern Miss is a much better team than Nevada, and I would give them, again, don't know if I'm confident enough to lay the points with them, but Southern Miss will win this game.
Okay.
Southern Miss will win this game.
December 26th, the Independence Bowl in Shreveport, Louisiana, the heart of Mid-South country on ESPN2.
And one of the least desirable bowl destinations.
Yeah, it always is. I was watching it the 1 year when they had an actual blizzard there.
Yeah, exactly. It could actually be cold. There's been cold weather. This is one of those games I hate.
7-5 Mizzou versus 7-5 Tar Heels.
I'm going to go with Missouri's going to win this. They are probably the best 7-5 team in the country. When you take a look at their losses, Ricky, I mean, they lost a lot of close games to, you know, some pretty good teams. Basically the upper echelon of the Big 12. I mean, they were in almost every one of their losses. When you look at it, they lost by 3 at Baylor. They lost by 21 at home to Oklahoma State, but there's really no shame there. They were one of the many teams that lost a close game to Kansas State this year. They lost by 7. They lost by 10 at Oklahoma and by 7 in what I believe was an overtime game at Arizona State, back when Arizona State was playing much better.
Right.
North Carolina, sometimes they just like, you know, talk about a Jekyll and Hyde. One week they score 49, the next week they were shut out.
Well,
so I'm going to go with Mizzou.
Okay, good call, I think. December 27th, Little Caesars Bowl in Detroit at Ford Field. 7-5 Western Mich versus 6-6 Purdue.
Isn't Western Michigan just a much better team?
I think so.
The points are small here. I'm showing, 1.5 on my board. You know, it may be a little bit different on yours. I was looking at a different spot right there. But Western Michigan's just a better team. 2.5. Grab the 2.5 if you need to, but I'm telling you what, they're going to win the game straight up.
Yep.
Oh, again, regional advantage being played within their home state boundaries. So.
That's true.
It's always good when the MAC team can play a Big Ten team. You know, it's kind of a big brother, little brother syndrome.
Exactly.
I like Western Michigan there.
So what you're saying is take the money line, yo.
Yes. I really like Western Michigan.
Okay. December 27th, the Belk Bowl in Charlotte, whatever that is.
The artist formerly known as the Meineke Car Care Bowl, I believe. I was trying to figure it out, too, because I didn't remember the Belk Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. 7-5 Louisville. Shout out to friend of the show, Bedford Crenshaw, versus 7-5 NC State.
Slightly into Louisville. Louisville, again, another team hit it out. It's not a big number. Hit it out of the park as a dog this year. 6-0 as an underdog during the regular season. Also, 13-2 against the ACC, by the way. Somebody,
okay.
A bird in my ear just whispered. So let's give a slightly into Louisville. NC State was a team that kind of came on strong a little bit late. Probably should have won their last four. Their one loss was at BC.
Uh-huh.
You know, a team they probably should have beaten. It was on the road, their only road game during that stretch. But, you know, they had some stinkers. They looked really bad against Florida State, getting shut out. And then the other end, they had some great games when they killed Clemson. I mean, I don't know if you saw when they played Clemson. It was like, was this the same Clemson team that was once under? They waxed them. So, but I say Louisville. It'll be interesting to see. Louisville's a team that wins lower scoring affairs typically. Mm. NC State, if the game gets into the 30s, maybe even the 40s, which I don't think will happen, it'll probably be more to their advantage.
Okay. On December 28th from Washington, D.C., it's the Obama Hates the Military. I'm sorry, that's the Military Bowl.
Now, wait just a minute here.
I was waiting for that one.
Now, wait just a minute here.
7-5 Air Force versus 8-4 Toledo.
Go over. Okay. There, if you like just a lot of points, a bowl game where there's no defense whatsoever.
Okay.
Put this one on.
Okay.
This is a game. It's slightly, I'd say if you're Toledo, probably wins the game straight up.
Okay.
Another one for the MAC, I guess. But, yeah. You know, Air Force was kind of a really interesting case study, too, this year. You know, I watched them, you know, win some good games. They had some just awful losses, too. I mean, they made Notre Dame look like world beaters
right. The
week after they beat Navy, and then they, you know, they kind of stunk it up. You know, they lost to Wyoming. They lost to San Diego State by a couple touchdowns in a game they were favored. But they really weren't, and they finished the year, you know, beating up some real dregs of the draw in the Mountain West, so to speak.
Right.
But Toledo, this is a good team. Their only loss the last eight games of the season was that 63-60 Tuesday game to Northern Illinois. This is a team that easily could have ended the year on an eight-game winning streak. I think give Toledo the win, but look for a lot of points.
Okay.
Total, by the way, very high, 70.5. That's to usually it's like the old better syndrome. When you have a real high total in bowl season,
yeah,
like, you know, in the high 60s or above, you want to go over those because they're daring you to go over, and they typically do.
Okay.
So, I mean, some of these games, the defenses don't come to play.
Now, you mentioned a lot of offense. That is something we all have memories in our mind here. This next bowl, a solid upper mid-card heritage over a period of time here. The Holiday Bowl in San Diego, 7-5 California versus 7-5 Texas. You talked before about the danger of teams that don't want to be there. I believe Texas in this very bowl previously has phoned it in before. I'm not saying they're going to phone it in this one, except you will see Mac Brown on the sidelines in pajama pants.
Yeah, yes. Here's the thing, though. The Pac-12, formerly the Pac-10, they were known before they had better bowl tie-ins.
Mm-hmm.
They were known. It was the second place team always went to this bowl, and it was never treated as a reward, and they always stunk it up.
Right.
Because they would always play like kind of a mid-card Big 12 team.
Yep.
I don't like Cal, but I don't like Texas. I'm going to go Texas, but don't lay
like
the
trap.
Don't lay the
like
points. This is one of those games where I wouldn't want to play either team because you're right. Texas will not. I mean, it's Texas. I know they didn't make a bowl last year. This is not a reward for a program like that. But I just despise Cal.
Texas, you will see. They will have players on the sidelines not holding up towels that say "Hi, Mom." They'll be holding up towels that say "We are here under protest."
Yeah. So yeah, that's a tough one to call. That's a tough one to call.
Here's one, and this is funny. You always get a bowl that tries to reel in the marks with heritage. We saw it last year with the Sun Bowl, Miami and Notre Dame. Oh, old school Catholics versus convicts.
Well, I watched that game and wagered on it and won very easily.
Good for you, Good for you. This year's Mark's Special Bowl is the Champ Sport Bowl in Orlando on ESPN. Number 25, Florida State versus also at 8-4, Notre Dame. That's a whole thing there to try to reel people in.
And what's wrong with that?
Let's run
some
promo packages about 1993 all over again. Maybe we can get Charlie Ward to do the coin flip.
Well, why wouldn't you do something like that?
It's just hilarious to me, the cynicism of it. It just really
is.
Yeah,
I think you're the one who's being cynical.
I'm being cynical.
Yes, I like this bowl game. Now, unfortunately, I'm not sure who's going to win. Now, Florida State had that awful run where they lost three in a row.
They're awful. Our Nate Noy's been dogging me all year for thinking that they could beat Oklahoma.
They came pretty close.
Yeah.
Now, Oklahoma was a little overrated turnout. But I'll tell you what. Their four losses were by a combined 21 points.
Yeah.
Notre Dame is a team that just shoots itself. I cannot. I would never recommend laying points with them as a favorite. Now, they're the slight dog here. Their losses, most well, nah, they lost by two TDs to USC, two TDs to Stanford. Put the check mark next to Florida State here. Okay. I think Florida State wins this one with defense.
Okay.
They have a very good Florida State. Florida State should. It's in Florida. They're playing Notre Dame. If they were playing a lesser opponent, lesser-name opponent, I would be less inclined to take the Noles because they're the kind of team that could phone it in.
Right.
But I think Notre Dame is going to have their attention, and I'll say Florida State.
All I can say is this must be bad booking because neither Jimbo Fisher nor Brian Kelly can really afford a loss on their record at this point here.
No, the bookers
shouldn't have put them here.
No.
The Alamo Bowl in San Antonio, December 29th on ESPN. Number 15, Baylor at 9-3 versus Washington, 7-5. Chance for the Heisman Trophy winner to go strut his stuff.
Yeah, the Heisman, sometimes, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he responds now that he's won the trophy, RG3. Mm-hmm. That he's won the trophy, you know. This is a showcase game, obviously, for him for the NFL draft. Big check mark next to Baylor. They'll win the game straight up. Not so sure about nines a lot, it seems. Washington's kind of a pesky team. They did get annihilated by Stanford during the regular season. Very high total. This is the highest total of bowl season at 78.5.
Right.
But when you look at some of Baylor's final scores down the stretch, I mean, my goodness, I mean, 72. When they played Texas Tech, it was 108 for crying out loud. That seems like a pretty high number, but definitely check mark next to Baylor. They'll win this game. Played, again, in their home state.
Yeah.
And Baylor, they were one of my worst losers last year in the bowls that I played because they were making their return off a long bowl hiatus. I think it was 94 was the last time they made a bowl before last year. Mm-hmm. They looked awful against Illinois.
Yep.
I mean, they made Ron Zook like a good coach for crying out loud. I think here, you know, a Washington team that kind of, you know, pulled a big bowl upset last year. Not this year. No.
Okay. December 30th in Dallas, Texas, the Armed Forces Bowl, 9-3 BYU versus 8-4 Tulsa.
It's really interesting because BYU has that awful, awful loss to Utah on its resume. And when that happened, everyone's like, okay, it's going to be a down year for Bronco Mendenhall.
You're going to say Bronco Lubin.
Yeah.
Right city.
But, you know, their other two losses besides that were by one in Austin to Texas and a game against TCU, where they outgained the Horned Frogs. This is a good bowl game.
It is.
This is a good bowl, off-the-radar bowl game. Tulsa, you want to know who their four losses were to? You talk about a brutal non-conference. We went over this, I think, last time I was on the show. Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Boise State was their non-conference loss.
And Houston in conference.
And then Houston in conference. Now, they did lose all those games pretty badly.
Yeah.
Okay, they did lose all those games pretty badly.
So they're going to get bounced by a real good team, but BYU's not on that level.
Yeah, BYU's not on that level, but you know what? BYU's not that much. Slight check to BYU.
Really? Okay.
Slight check to BYU.
All right.
See, Tulsa really and part of that's spite. Tulsa really disappointed me against Houston.
Okay.
So the slight check mark to BYU.
BYU. All right.
Not a very confident pick.
I'm hoping selfishly that that's not going to augur how Mitt Romney does in the Republican primaries. December 30th in New York, the Pinstripe Bowl on ESPN. 8-4 Rutgers v 6-6 Iowa State.
Small check to Rutgers here. Do not like either of these teams. Iowa State obviously has the big win over Oklahoma State on its resume. Mm-hmm.
I beat Iowa.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who doesn't beat Kirk Ferentz these days? But I think that might cause, you may want to wait. It'll be interesting to see which way the line moves here.
Okay.
Because people are going to say, oh, Iowa State beat Oklahoma State. Who's Rutgers? This game's being played again. Rutgers with a regional advantage. You know,
right.
Will Iowa State really take being a trip to New York this time of year as any kind of reward? You know, they've already kind of won their bowl game, won a Friday night home game against Oklahoma State.
Right.
Small check to Rutgers.
Okay. December 30th, the Music City Bowl in Nashville. 6-6 Wake Forest versus 6-6 Mississippi State. Woohoo, Jim Grobe.
Yes, yes. And Jimmy Grobe is a dangerous underdog. Now, I know they did not end the season well.
No.
It was an atrocious home loss, 41-7 to Vandy.
Mm-hmm.
That can't happen. You can't lose senior night, 41-7 to Vandy.
Right.
Mississippi State, it was a very disappointing year in Starkville. Dan Mullen seemed to not live up to expectations. This was a team most had in the top 25, and they lost all their big games. They ended on a very high note, though, crushed rival Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl. This is interesting because straight up, you know, Mississippi State's laying 6.5. Definitely like the points with Wake Forest here.
Okay.
Definitely like the points with Wake Forest here. Mississippi State is, they don't score enough to cover that kind of spread. I think they've got enough horses, though, they'll pull the game straight up, but closer than the experts think.
And this just shows you, by the way that the world moves so quickly these days. If somebody would have told you back in September that Dan Mullen would end up big-timing the Penn State job, you would have thought they'd have gone 12-0.
Yeah, really.
All right, December 30th, the Insight Bowl in Tempe, Arizona. Number 19, Oklahoma at 9-3 versus 7-5. Iowa, call it the underachievement bowl.
Yeah, I definitely like Iowa with the points in this game. That's way too many points to be laying in a bowl game, especially with an Oklahoma team with still without Ryan Broyles, poorly coached in a consistent basis. And you just got to wonder, an Oklahoma team that was predicted by many to be playing for a BCS national championship back in August, do they care about this at all?
Yep.
It's going to be really – now, sometimes there are exceptions to that rule, okay? I'm kind of like, you know, kind of playing to the rule in almost every case.
Right.
I mean, they could come out and just crush them. I mean, they could just have a good week with you. Like, you know what? It's been a bot. Let's just beat the hell out of somebody. But Iowa, to me, usually when they lose, it's kind of a closer game.
Right.
They rarely get blown out. So that's why I say take them with the points in this game. But probably not going to win it straight
There's
up.
There's one scenario where Oklahoma comes out really fired up. There's another scenario where Bob Stoops has got a spliff and a bag of Doritos underneath the clipboard.
Yes, you don't know
which it's going to be.
Yeah, you really do. And that's what's tough about bowls. You really, you know, I mean.
Yeah, hard to say. December 31st, the Meineke Car Care Bowl in Houston, carrying on the fine heritage of the Blueberry Bowl. Texas A&M 6-6 versus Northwestern 6-6. Smell the excitement.
This is my big upset pick.
Okay.
I think Northwestern, as a 10-point dog, probably takes this game outright. They have not won a bowl game, I believe, ever? Or has it been since the 50s? I can't remember.
I think.
It's one of those things. Shame on me for not knowing that. You talk about disappointing seasons. Texas A&M was preseason top 10. They went 6-6. Mike Sherman's gone. You know, he's probably, I mean, I feel bad for Mike Sherman.
Right.
I mean, not only is he wondering what could have been here, every Sunday he puts on the TV, he probably cries when he watches Green Bay beating the hell out of everybody. I mean, it's Northwestern, I can see winning this game straight up. Definitely take him with the 10.
Plus 290 on the money line.
Oh,
nice little steal there.
Okay. Texas A&M was a team, I don't know how much you watched them during the season.
A few times.
Mind-numbing to watch. I mean, they blew multiple halftime leads against Arkansas, Oklahoma State. They had huge leads at halftime, could not win either time. And they just, to me, they were the biggest disappointment of the college football regular season.
Okay. On December 31st, the aforementioned Sun Bowl, the lone broadcast property of CBS during this bowl season here. Vern Lundquist and Gary Danielson will be bringing you 8-4 Georgia Tech versus 7-5 Utah from El Paso.
This is not a game that I would recommend wagering on. It's interesting because Utah will be accustomed to facing the triple option. They faced it in the past, playing teams, you know, like Air Force, you know, in previous years. So they'll be ready for it. They have ample time to get ready for it. Georgia Tech really disappointed me with that regular season finale loss to Georgia. A Georgia team that didn't have much to play for.
Mm-hmm.
It was a double revenge shot for them, and they just didn't show up. Then you have the case of Utah, who lost outright as a 22.5-point favorite to a Colorado team that hadn't won a road game since the George W. Bush administration. I'm going to pick Georgia Tech just because I have to pick a winner.
Okay.
But do not wager on this game.
Okay. The next one here, a game that's even uglier in some sense.
Oh,
here.
Boy.
The Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl from San Francisco.
It's a fight hunger, I'll tell you that much. Yes.
6-7 UCLA versus 6-6 Illinois. If UCLA wins, it will be the first bowl game ever to end with two teams under 500, both teams in the bowl.
And just because of that, take UCLA. I don't know what I'll say. Illinois, what in God's name happened? I mean, what they lost 27-7 to Minnesota to end the year. I mean, Ron Zook, I mean, this team was, I when they were 6-0, I knew it was fraudulent.
Yeah, they were the Cincinnati Bengals of NCAA football.
But 7-14, 7-14, 17-7. That's how many points they scored during their six-game losing streak every game. I mean, that's bad. Then again, you have UCLA, which, you know, lost 50-0 to USC, but Illinois ain't USC.
Yeah. I mean, John Cooper laughs at the discrepancy between Ron Zook's ability to recruit and coach.
Yes,
okay?
Really, yes. I mean, yeah, great. I just – the thing is, you got two, you know, lame duck – you got two bad coaching situations there. I just don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, that one's pretty tough.
That is. I'm just. I guess that's one of my least confident because I don't want to take either of those teams.
Right.
You know, those are two teams typically would get blown out against some different opponents.
They
maybe.
Pretty much would, such as any of the teams coming up in the next couple of games here. December 31st, the Liberty Bowl from Memphis on ABC. 9-3 Cincinnati versus 6-6 Vandy. Not too far of a trip for Vandy.
No, and I'm going to give the slight check to Vandy. This shows you the power of the SEC. 6-6 team favored over a 9-3 team.
Yeah. Well, again, Cincinnati, you know, just another one of those Big East frauds.
Yeah. Vanderbilt's pretty good. They're stuck in the wrong conference, obviously, with their academic requirements. They're never going to win in the SEC. But, you know, they're not a bad team. They certainly can step out of conference, as they showed against Wake Forest, and really dominate, you know, a middle-of-the-road team from one of these other BCS conferences, like Cincinnati.
Right. A game that's always been one of the upper mid-card ones here when you're talking about the non-BCS bowls, the Chick-fil-A Bowl.
Formerly the Peach Bowl.
Yes, traditionally played New Year's Eve in Atlanta this year, matching up 8-4 Virginia versus 7-5 Auburn.
I got to go with Virginia because it's Auburn. This is a team that won the BCS National Championship last year. They have an atrocious defense.
Yep.
They did improve a little bit as the season went along, but it's bad. Virginia's got a great defense, and this is a return to the bowls for them. You know, some of these teams, some of these higher-ranked SEC teams have, treated this game as it's being played on New Year's Eve. and needless to say, have not given a supreme effort that you would see with Vern Lundquist and Gary Danielson on the call on a Saturday afternoon in October. So I think Virginia wins this game.
And allow me to channel hack headline writer here. Yes, Virginia, there has been a plummeting back to earth for Auburn.
Yes. Virginia, I mean, they were outclassed by Virginia Tech in that finale, but they weren't as bad as they showed in that game.
No, they weren't. Looking at the January non-BCS bowls, starting January 2nd, the Ticket City Bowl in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl facility itself on ESPNU. Hence, it'll be seen by 17 people. Number 20, Houston at 12-1 versus number 24, Penn State. At 9-3, it'll be a real freak show with Penn State being in there.
Yeah, it will. Here's the thing, though. Houston.
Yeah.
Not playing in a BCS bowl. I remember everything I said about a January bowl game being treated as a reward, except certain circumstances. This might be certain circumstances. You know, I know they're playing Penn State, which, okay, look, let's brush by as hard as it may be all that nonsense that's going by. The coach is leaving. I thought Penn State before that. I didn't like them as a team before that whole kit and caboodle went down.
Right.
I think they win this game. I think Penn State. I think they win this game. I think they're probably just a better team. Houston did not play a tough schedule.
No, they didn't. But it's a thing where, and we have to measure every word when we're talking about Penn State.
Yeah,
so this could even be taken the wrong way. I have to say this carefully. Can they get up for this game?
Yes. I think I think they'll win it for the coaching staff, the seniors. As a matter of fact, I just actually, in the last 2 minutes, talked myself into really liking Penn State.
Okay. All right. Sometimes that happens when we start talking
about
it. If
it makes me a bad guy, then so help me. I mean, I'm sorry. I think Penn State's a better team than Houston, and they're getting points. I would definitely recommend taking the five in the hook there.
That's all the basis you need. Yep. January 2nd, the Capital One Bowl in Orlando, number 10. South Carolina versus number 21, Nebraska at 9-3. Coach Ball caps, or Coach Visor, whatever, one of his best teams, probably the best one he's had at South Carolina, one of the ones probably the best ones in the last 15 years.
Yeah, but they have not performed well in the bowls during his tenure at all.
Right.
I mean, they've performed just downright lousy. I hate Nebraska. Nebraska's not good, though. I think that South Carolina, it's amazing they were as good as they were because, you know, they dismissed the quarterback from the team, Steven Garcia. Marcus Lattimore went down halfway through the campaign. So it's amazing they still finished 10-2. They probably should have been playing in the SEC championship had they not lost kind of a head scratcher to Auburn.
Yeah.
An Auburn team they were a double-digit favorite against at home. They would have only lost one other time.
Bad loss.
Yeah. Oh, and that so give it to South Kakalaki here.
I think
SEC, by the way, Nebraska. Give it an SEC check over the Big Ten. By the way, no New Year's Day bowl because the NFL, all these games we play January 2nd. Real good couple weekends in my business.
That's true, yeah. January 2nd, the Gator Bowl on ESPN2 from Jacksonville. Talk about cynical marketing. It's the Urban Meyer Bowl.
How do you not like this?
6-6 Ohio State versus 6-6 Florida.
How do you not like this?
Well,
especially as an Ohio State fan, you couldn't have booked a better bowl game than this.
What I don't like is that the ESPN announcers won't be allowed to talk about what's on the field. They'll only be allowed to talk about Urban Meyer for 3 hours.
Well, who wants to talk about something? A couple 6-6 teams. Kidding me? Your boy Luke Fickell? Okay. By the way, how about this? Yeah. How about the Ohio State, by the way, allowed to have – there's a lot of fan bases that have reasons to complain.
Yeah.
Let me tell you one of them that doesn't. Ohio State. You got a better coach out of this whole situation.
Yeah, they did.
And people say, oh, what if you only last a couple years because helpful? What if he wins you a championship in that window?
Right.
You know? I like Ohio State here, by the way.
The
new coach, this just didn't knows a lot about the opponent.
Yep.
And Will Muschamp seem to lose his team down the stretch. By the way, did we miss the Michigan State-Georgia game?
No, that's coming up next
year.
Good thinking. January
by the way,
2nd.
Big Ten over the SEC. Ohio State did beat an SEC team in the bowls last year, Arkansas.
Yeah, he ain't never been hit like that before.
Yeah.
January 2nd, the Outback Bowl in Tampa on ABC. Number 12, Michigan State versus number 18, Georgia.
Yeah, this is traditionally, in my opinion, I think this is one of the, along with the Cotton Bowl, this is the best non-BCS bowl game every year because it's usually, you know, your second or third best Big Ten team versus second or third best SEC team, depending on who gets the, you know, BCS at large spots. Last year, I made a ton of money taking the SEC against the Big Ten on New Year's Day.
Okay.
We've split so far, South Carolina over Nebraska, but then Ohio State over Florida. Give another check mark to the Big Ten.
Really?
I think Michigan State was embarrassed. Well, I know they were embarrassed in this bowl game last year by Alabama. Remember, three-loss Alabama team, a significant favorite over a one-loss Michigan State team in this bowl last. Beat them up 800-5.
Right.
Michigan State gets revenge. Georgia, look, when they were 0-2, I said they would run the table and go to the SEC championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They did. But they avoided LSU. They avoided Alabama. They avoided Arkansas during the regular season. Their record's a little fraudulent. Okay, they were not that competitive in any of their three losses. Michigan State is a good team. They will win this game.
Okay, the aforementioned Cotton Bowl in Arlington, Texas, January 6th on Fox, 8 p.m. A game which I, as a traditionalist, feel should be part of the BCS, and under my plus one would be again part of the BCS. But anyways, number 7 Arkansas 10-2 versus number 11 K-State at 10-2.
You have to be very careful about this. Kansas State is a team that I don't know how they got to this bowl game. You can't bet against them as a dog. I say take the points, but Arkansas wins. Kansas State had 7 outright dog wins during the regular season.
Okay.
That doesn't happen every year for frame of reference, okay?
Right.
You don't win. I mean, it was unbelievable. Almost all of their – they were an underdog in almost every game, I think. You know, there were they had the two the one bad loss to Oklahoma, but they were competitive with Oklahoma State,
right?
If memory serves me correct. Other than that, you know, they were – I mean, yeah, they were an outright dog, beat Miami, outright dog, beat Baylor, beat Missouri. They were a dog at Texas Tech. Talk about a line the odds makers would have liked to have back now.
Right.
You know, beat Texas outright as a dog. Beat A&M outright as a dog. Yeah, so, yeah, I think you got to take a generous helping of points with Bill Snyder, but Arkansas probably wins the game straight up.
Okay. All right. So it's not a complete win for Bill Snyder and his hard butter then. Okay. On January 7th, the first of two games that I truly can't believe are being played in the month of January and don't deserve to be, but whatever. The BBVA Compass Bowl in Birmingham, Alabama on ESPN. 7-5 SMU versus 6-6 Pitts Puke.
Again, here's... Oh boy. This is clearly a game that, well, first of all, this game will be on an NFL playoff day.
Yes.
So there will be no reason to bet it. I don't know why they put these games on when they do. Slight lean to SMU.
Okay.
I think. Slight lean to SMU.
Certainly less chaos after the Pittsburgh situation.
Well, June Jones, remember, it's interesting. He was rumored to be taking that Arizona State job initially.
Right.
And, now he is, so maybe shows a thing or two. I just don't like the Big East. SMU did not end the regular season very well, but I don't know. Definitely would take them with the points. They didn't fail to cover their last six games, by the way.
Right. The GoDaddy Bowl in Birmingham, Alabama, January 8th on ESPN. 10-3 Northern Illinois versus 10-2 Arkansas State. Northern Illinois, boo.
Not a bad team though, and I think they get. I give them the check here. Slight check over Arkansas State. The Sun Belt, obviously the weakest league in America. Northern Illinois is not a bad team. Bottom line.
So they go into the pay window, Tony.
Yeah, I'm surprised to see Arkansas State favor in this game.
Yeah, that is.
I'm really surprised.
That is kind of a shocker here. The BCS games, January 2nd, the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. Number 5 Oregon at 11-2 versus number 9 Wisconsin at 11-2. Also,
As far as picking the straight up winner, very confident here, Oregon.
Yep,
they have failed in 2 BCS bowl games under Chip Kelly thus far. Losing to Ohio State in the Rose Bowl, and then last year to Auburn for the BCS National Championship. Wisconsin is a, look, both their losses came very fluke fashion.
Right.
It's amazing. This is a good team. Now, they're going to be motivated because they lost to TCU in this game last year, but it's not. Oregon is a better team. Oregon's a better team. High total, by the way, 71.5. Could see this one going over.
Could be. The Fiestada Bowl, January 2nd in Glendale, Arizona. Number 3, Oklahoma State at 11-1 versus number 4, Stanford at 11-1.
A lot of people think, Andrew Luck is just going to carve up Oklahoma State. And I guess they're right. but I don't think Stanford's that good. If it wasn't for Andrew Luck,
right,
they wouldn't be anything. I mean, you talk about a team that's going to fall off a cliff next year.
Right.
Stanford. I mean, they're just – I mean, come on. He doesn't have the tools that, say, Matt Barkley did at USC.
Right.
Yeah, Andrew Luck, it would have been – if you had swapped those two – look, I think Barkley made some tremendous strides this year. If there was a playoff and they were eligible to be in it, I'm telling you right now, USC, I think, would give either LSU or Alabama the best shot.
Really?
They down the stretch, I thought they were tremendous.
There's
a lot of NFL talent on that team. Coach them up Lane,
As a Tennessee guy, I'm not a big fan.
That's too bad. Okay, how's your boy Derek Dooley doing right now, okay?
I never wanted, I wash myself with a rag on a stick higher.
Yeah. This is I'll be honest, initially I loved Oklahoma State when this matchup was announced. I'm going to stick with them. They always say your initial thoughts right, so I'm going to stick with them. I just don't think Stanford's that good. They barely beat USC. They needed triple overtime to do it, and they got housed by Oregon.
They did. They really did. That was ugly. January 3rd, the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans. Your number 13-10-2 Michigan Wolverines versus the number 17 Virginia Tech Hokies at 11-2. A true sham. That the Hokies made it here, just proving again the BCS all about the almighty dollar and fat Hokie fan travels, I guess.
Who do you think should have gotten this berth over Virginia Tech?
I would have given it to Boise.
Yeah, I probably would have too.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'll be honest with you. People complain about Virginia Tech; they beat no ranked teams.
Right.
The only good team they played was Clemson. They got housed both times.
Yeah.
Michigan does not exactly have a lot of sterling wins on its resume either.
No.
Their best win was probably the Nebraska game the week before Ohio State.
Nor any Draper wins. Huddle, huddle.
Yeah. Give the check to Michigan.
Okay.
Give the check to Michigan.
Pay window.
Virginia Tech was embarrassed, by the way, last year in a BCS bowl game by Stanford. So they could come to play. It'll be interesting to see how Michigan handles this. Having been on the outside looking in for a couple
years.
That's
true. The last two, the Orange Bowl in Miami, traditionally the last couple of years, a pretty crappy bowl, completely unworthy
of its history.
Because
the Big East.
And yet it is the case, again, Number 14, Clemson at 10-3 versus the Travis Sham mockery of this year's BCS group. Number 23, West Virginia at 9-3.
Well, I thought Virginia Tech was the Travis Shamockery or whatever you just said.
Well, they both are.
Take West Virginia.
Things really?
Things you don't want to do if you like to make money. Betting Clemson. Let's go West Virginia.
Yeah, that's true. Coach Cletus at Clemson, or whatever his name is, isn't going to like what you
Dabo
have to say.
Sweeney?
Yeah, exactly.
Coach Cletus.
All right, January 9th, the BCS title game in New Orleans, 8:30 Eastern time on ESPN. Number one LSU at 13-0 versus number two Alabama at 11-1.
I'll tell you something about this line. It's where I thought it would be, I guess. I wasn't surprised. But it, to me, is either going to be... This, to me, is either the sucker line of the year or the easiest bet of the century. I'm going to go with the latter. I don't know. I'm scared. I'm going to say LSU now, but I'm going to get talked into Alabama. I know right before kickoff. There's a long time. It was... People forget that game went into overtime. Alabama missed four field goals in the game. I just think the controversy that would ensue if Alabama wins...
That would be quite gorgeous.
But to me, what's the difference between that and a playoff then?
I would agree. I would agree. You win that game, and that's what that's all that really matters.
LSU.
What am I missing here as far as how is the total of 39.5 not a huge sucker thing here? I feel like they're baiting us with a number that's like way too obvious.
Well, I have the under in the first of all, yeah. Casual college football fan is a knob. Okay.
Right.
Oh, it's 9-6 game. Like, what did you expect? These two teams give up like 7 points a game.
I know.
Okay. I have the under in the first matchup.
Right.
And I'm with you. These lines are curious. I'm worried about both
lines. They're sticking cheese in the mousetrap.
Why would you not? Why would you not bet LSU in the under?
Yeah.
In this game. Well, I mean,
or at least the under. I'm not. I don't play a lot of sides because that, to me, takes a greater skill level than I care to commit to betting. So I'm casual better. As casual better, this line
the
sticks.
Last two – now, it's interesting.
Yeah.
The last two BCS – pardon me, last three BCS title games have had huge over-unders, if you remember.
Right. Well, last year we thought it was going to be 100-99, you know.
I had the under.
Okay.
I had the under. And I had, and Florida, Oklahoma, if you remember, that was another game that the undercat. That was 3 years ago. That undercashed by about four touchdowns or so. 2 years ago, I can't remember if the Texas Alabama game went under. I think that game did go over late because Garrett Gilbert scored some of those garbage time touchdowns for Texas.
Oh, maybe. Okay.
But I don't know. Something's wrong. You're right with these lines.
Yeah.
It's one of those games that you're either at the end of the game you're going to be pounding your chest. How smart am I?
Right.
Or how dumb am I?
Right.
Let's go with LSU.
LSU, all right.
LSU and under.
And under. You're saying under. Okay.
Yes.
All right, well, there's our rundown through the college bowl season. Take all of these to the bank, as always. Kyle, and of course, VegasExperts.com. We can always settle on your fine advice from there.
Yeah, so when I change my mind 2 weeks from now, remember to take those picks.
Absolutely.